Hello, everyone. Welcome to another month of the Love Your Naked Ass Warrior series. For each month, I will feature a fierce female luminary who inspires and empowers the world one woman at a time through unconventional ways or methods, essentially defying the social norm. This warrior possesses strength, sass, and the willingness to be naked with not only her ideas, but her concepts and her feelings. She has the ability to make us stretch, grow, and question our own comfort zones. She never apologizes for who she is, and most importantly, she loves herself, flaws and all. I will be your guide tonight. For those of you who are new to me, my name is Kimberly Riggins, and I am the founder and creator of The Art of Eating Chocolate Naked. And of course, I am the facilitator of the Love Your Naked Ass Warrior series. I am the author of the book Love Your Naked Ass, 80 Gentle Ways to Transform Your Life, Restore Your Serenity, and Rediscover Happiness. And in January of 2012, I will be releasing my first program called Release Your Inner Vixen, where you will learn how to harness the power of pleasure to ignite your sexy, create sizzling relationships, and infuse more fun into your life with or without a man. Essentially, what I do is I teach women how to let go of their body image hangups, kick their inner critical bitch to the curb, and help them release their inner vixen who's been dying to come out and play. But enough about me. Tonight, we have a fierce, sparkling, powerful luminary on the Love Your Naked Ass Warrior series. This woman kicks some serious booty in the sensuality and romance department, and I am over the moon excited to introduce her to you, and I would love to let you know that she's also a good friend of mine. Her name is Sherry Nichols. She is considered a sparkling mojo specialist who is also certified as an advanced Psych-K facilitator. She is trained in transformational healing and identity shifting. Now, Sherry has a great story, which I'm hoping she shares with us a bit, but her journey started after she divorced in 1998. She began a business that empowers women all over the world to connect with their raw feminine sensuality, open their hearts, and live fully expressed. In 2009, she developed her signature teleplay shop, Discover How to Find and Own Your Playful, Sexy Self, helping hundreds of women revitalize their radiance and embrace their feminine, playful spirit in order to build healthy, loving relationships. Sherry has been seen on The View from the Bay and San Diego Living, and she's provided her clients with successful strategies via her blog, which is called unleashyoursparkle.com. She also offers private coaching, various other programs, products, including a brand new book that's coming out, and other workshops. And her book is called Sexy and Sparkling After 40, and it's due in the next month or two. So without further ado, let me introduce to you Sherry Nichols. Sherry, can you hear me?
I can, Kimberly. So nice to be here. Thank you so much for having me. It was a beautiful
Absolutely.
Introduction. Thank you.
It's a pleasure, as always. I love talking to you. So I really want to start out by just hearing your personal story. I mean, I could, you know, tell a version of it because I've gotten to know you really well, but
mm-hmm.
it's never as good as hearing it out of someone else's or that person's mouth. So, yes, please share with us your personal journey of what led you to become what you call a feminine mojo specialist.
Okay. Well, basically, I was in a marriage where I, you know, My husband at the time was going through a really hard time and Well, he had been bankrupt and kind of starting over, and I was figuring that I needed to come to the rescue. So I did everything I could to take our marriage to where I thought it needed to go. I worked like a crazy woman, and I just was so goal-oriented and accomplishment-oriented because I thought, you know, we have to have everything that materially that we want. And basically what happened was I found out through a series of events while I was trying to get pregnant and we were searching for a house and, you know, just really – I thought we're on track with everything that we wanted to do. I found out that he was really secretly living another life with another woman. And it was really devastating. And You know, I still remember, you know, walking into his office at the time and the phone ringing, and it had always been, you know, I never answered his phone, and it had always been on low volume because he was from another country, and, you know, sometimes people get confused with the time changes, so we would just always have the phone basically down as low as possible so it wouldn't disturb us. But it happened to ring, and I didn't answer it, but, you know, just this voice came over it, and pretty much announced that, you know, she was the other woman, and that's how I found out.
Wow.
And it was, you know, it was very shocking for me, very shocking. And so from there, you know, my marriage obviously crumbled, and the whole thing just fell apart. And I remember just finding out, you know, asking him what had gone wrong, and he, you know, he basically said that she had this other woman that he was involved with, made him feel like a man, and that he felt wonderful, and she had this playful feminine spirit that I used to have. And that hurt. That really hurt.
I'm sure. And, absolutely.
You know, and from there I just kind of got to this point where I really looked at myself, Kimberly. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or not, where you've just so shocked at how things are transpiring in your life.
Mm-hmm.
And I went into the bathroom and I just looked at my reflection, and I just kind of thought, wow, you know, who have you become? Yeah, I didn't even recognize myself. Really, I'm serious. And
no, I believe you. That happened to me twice in my life, so I get it.
It's just it's horrifying, actually. You know, you
mm-hmm.
and what was really horrifying was that, you know, in trying to do everything, I lost everything.
Yeah.
And so what I really realized from that was that I was just heavily in my masculine energy throughout my marriage, just trying to save it. You know, I was just
mm-hmm.
like so focused on what can I do to save this, you know, thinking it was my responsibility to fix everything, to make the money, to, you know, create everything, basically. And in the process, it basically emasculated, you know, my husband at the time. And it didn't leave any space for him to step up and be a man. So I, you know, just went on this journey and realized that I needed to rediscover who I was, and had some really, really great friends at the time who were just brutally honest with me. And I, you know, I just said, okay, that's it. I need to take this journey head on and really find myself again. And, you know, just, I know that sounds so cliche, but find my feminine again, because I totally
mm-hmm.
abandoned her, totally.
Yeah,
and
mm-hmm.
I didn't even know where she was. You know, it's like you can dress. You know, I mean, you can kind of like dress like you're feminine. You kind of fool yourself thinking, well, I'm a woman. I dress, you know, okay.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean you're a woman. It just
yeah.
it's an outer shell. It's a costume, basically.
Absolutely.
And so it was a journey back to really, you know, discovering what, you know, where my feminine power lay. And it was, you know, it was a beautiful journey, and I enjoyed every minute of it, and I'm still on it, you know, I'm still on it. And I think that, you know, I never want to get to the point again where I kind of, you know, fool myself again. So
mm-hmm.
I always try to be really consciously aware. And so that's what kind of fueled me to work with other women, because during this process, I found that my friends were getting inspired, and they were married, but they were thinking, wow, you know, I need to be, you know, really focusing on how I'm coming across and what my behaviors are, and am I really in my feminine? And it just kind of, you know, just kind of blossomed from there. And then I realized there are so many women out there who are really not even aware, like I wasn't, that they're living in an unbalanced state, and time to get back to, you know, really, really get in touch with that feminine center. And then during the process as well, I met somebody, and I just, my whole creative process just blossomed, and I started coming up with these really fun romantic adventures. And again, my friends were all very interested in doing them, and it was something I'll tell you, Kimberly, it was more than just bringing passion to a relationship. It was giving voice to that creative part of who you are. And it was also so bonding with your girlfriends, because we would all sit around, and instead of complaining about things, we would think about, you know, fun, romantic, sexy, masterminding plans, you know, how we can just really rock our guys', you know, world. And it created an amazing bonding that, you know, it took the friendship to a different level.
And y'all need friends like that.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, it was very much like, you know, like people say, oh, you know, like kind of like Sex and the City, you know, how they all supported each other and they were all there.
Absolutely.
And that's exactly what it felt like. And it was, so I also, you know, want to bring that into women's lives, because I think a lot of women, you know, also feel competitive at times. And I think it's so important to understand that, you know, you need your sisterhood. So I'm just very passionate about bringing all of that to women, and to really, you know, balancing, you know, ultimately balancing who they are so they can have more happiness in their life and just greater relationship with themselves and with their significant other or with whoever they want, you know, opening up space so that they can meet that right person and just living just a really joyful, happy life.
Yeah, amazing. You have an amazing story. And I feel like we're kind of kindred spirits in a lot of ways, because I can relate to a lot of things you said, but I always have. So, yeah, it's crazy. So let's just dive into some of the topics that we want to discuss tonight. One of the things that I would love for you to share is you often talk about five things that women often do that does not honor their feminine and can actually turn off men. And I think that a lot of women sometimes think they are doing the right thing, but they're really not, and they're coming off as a huge turnoff. So what are these five things, and how can we stop ourselves from doing them if we are doing them?
Great, great question. Okay, so the first thing that's, there's quite a few of them, but I think the most important, the first one that I want to present is independent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So many women feel the need to be independent, and you know,
you know, I'm laughing because I'm like, well, that's me,
right? It was totally me, and in many ways, you know, I have to always remind myself about it, because, you know, I have to say that there are circumstances where you have to be independent. You know, if you live on your own, you know, it forces you to be independent.
Yes.
But you want to always be conscious of, you know, what it would be like to allow a man to do something for you, so that when a guy does come up and offer to do something, you don't just instantly react with, oh, no, I got it, I can handle it, you know. Men, right?
Yeah.
And is that a common reaction for you, Kimberly?
Oh, God, yeah. I mean, I've learned my lesson throughout the last couple of years that I've done that frequently over many, many years being with my husband, and more so right after I had my child. And it was about when he was 6 months old that I realized, you know what, I need to stop doing that, because it causes more stress for me to just try to do everything by myself. And it does. It makes him feel like, well, he's kind of like, well, why am I even bothering? Why am I here?
Exactly.
You can do everything by yourself, and what am I doing here? What am I
Well, exactly. And that's the message it sends to a man. And, you know, men, I mean, I know that your listeners are savvy and they've heard this a million times, but I feel like we need to always keep this in the forefront of our mind that, you know, men need to be needed. That's really important for a man. That gives him his sense of value, and a man, you know, kind of judges, you know, how he feels about you and the commitment level that he has to the relationship, and all of that is really, a lot of it is based on how he feels when he's with you.
Mm-hmm.
Not how he feels about you, but how he feels when he's with you, and not how you make him feel. It's how he feels when he's with you. Is he needed? Is he, you know, allowed to be in your life to offer his, you know, they love to fix things. That's who they are. They love to give advice. They love to feel, you know, appreciated for all of this. And if you're independent, that just doesn't leave a lot of room. So
no.
That's one of them. Another one is aggressive. You know, I think that with a lot of women going into the working world, you know, we haven't had a lot of females to emulate as far as great feminine empowered role models. And so we've taken on the masculine and we have emulated it. And, you know, it's a very unattractive way to be as a woman. You know, when you are, think about it, when you're aggressive, how does it make you feel, Kimberly?
I'm edgy. I have a bit of a more of like a, I don't want to say anger, but sometimes, yeah, it's like I'm like fiercer. Like I don't receive, I can tell you that.
Right. And that's more of a masculine energy. And so as a man, if they're faced with that, then it just kind of is repelling, you know. They get enough of that, you know, in combat with other guys during the day. So that's, you know, it's not something that, it's not like two pieces of a puzzle coming together, you know. Aggressiveness isn't a natural state. It's not a natural state for a woman. And so it will make you feel, like you said, edgy and fierce. And it's okay to feel fierce in certain ways, but not when you're looking for the fierceness to be your power.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And now the third thing is demanding, I'm going to categorize all these, demanding, loud, and bossy. So, you know, it's where you just kind of really not even asking in a nice tone, but you're just kind of ordering around. And, you know, just kind of, you know, nobody likes to be ordered around. And a demanding tone, also, I believe that women do this because they feel that it gives them power, and it's a false power. It's a false power. Or they do it because they feel like if I demand this and I get it, then that means they love me. You know, all these things are just ways that you're kind of, you know, really fooling yourself and not honoring your feminine and really actually getting, you know, doing the opposite of what you want, which is to bring connection.
Absolutely.
Yeah. The fourth thing is speaking from your head instead of your heart. This will never help you as far as connecting and really being in your feminine, because when you speak from your head, it's almost like, well, you know, you've heard the talking head type of thing. I mean, it basically, you know, think about it. If you are really wanting something, but you're not able to ask from your heart, and so, you know, you're kind of speaking from your head, people don't connect with you that way.
Mm-hmm.
And it also, it can make a man feel like a servant. So that, you know, absolutely will never endear him to you.
Right. No, not at all. No, I was actually had an experience over the weekend. It wasn't me. I was actually getting my son pictures for the holidays, and I experienced a woman treating her husband like that. And I just sat there and kind of just watched everything unfold. And I was just like, and I just, what you were just saying, just completely came into my head, and I was like, wow.
Yeah.
Like, this is crazy. And I'm not saying I've never done it, because I'm sure that I'm not the only person who's, you know, fallen into that space at some point. But, it was really eye-opening just to experience it from, you know, an outsider looking in.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And don't get me wrong. I mean, I've done it too. There's times where I probably still do it. But, you know what I mean? It's like I'm just offering these things for awareness, you know.
Absolutely.
You know, because so many women want to connect with a man, and they don't understand why they don't. And so these are certain characteristics and behavioral patterns that turn men off. And then the last one is nagging and being, you know, cranky. That's never that's never appealing to be around. So,
no.
You know, the way that, you know, the way that you can really make sure that you're not falling into any of these things is just, you know, check in with yourself. And, you know, sometimes it's hard, you know, it's already coming out of your mouth before you can have a chance to stop it. But I think the more you become aware, the more you can just really stop yourself in the future, you know, as you become more and more aware, you know, you kind of are hip to yourself. And so you can stop before you allow those types of things to come out and try to think of different ways you can say things, you know, just will help yourself that way. And look at what your underlying motivation is in the behavior. You know, is it to gain power? What is it really about?
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. And it does get easier. And I'm talking from personal experience. I'll be the guinea pig, being consciously aware of what you say and do. And I still mess up a lot. But it's funny, I just notice it more often. And I am very, it's so much easier to just stop for a second and just think, okay, what do I actually want out of this conversation? And let me word it in a way that not just gets what I want, because that's not what I mean, but just in a way that's going to open his heart as well, because that is often the case. When you don't, when you act in all those ways you just described, it closes his heart immediately. And it's like they put a lock and key and he threw the key out the door. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so it's like I always say, okay, how can I keep his heart open, you know, so we can have this conversation, or I can ask, you know, for his advice or this or that or whatever I'm wanting to talk about. But, yeah, so I kind of always look at it as that, and I always bring that image up, reminding myself that if you lock his heart, he's throwing the key out the window. So,
right,
that helps.
Exactly.
I mean, it helps. I mean, it's humorous in one way, but in another way, it's very picturesque, and it creates an image in my head that keeps me from going backwards and keeps me moving forward.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And there's one other little short story that I wanted to talk about as far as the aggressiveness and independence. A good friend of mine, he's in his early 30s, and he and his best friend were, I think they were in Seattle or something, and somebody had wanted to introduce this girl to his best friend. So she shows up, and he said she was a knockout. She was gorgeous, and mm-hmm. you know, had her own business, and you know, really presented well within the first minute. But he said after about 10 or 15 minutes, he said both of them were so turned off by her, they couldn't wait to get away from her. And it was because she was totally aggressive and didn't let them be men, but she mm-hmm. was trying to run the show.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I know many women like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So exactly. And so I'm just trying to give the male viewpoint of what it does to them as well. So I know.
Well, I think that's important. I think that's what motivates women to become more aware, at least mm-hmm. from my experience. It's like if you tell them, oh, this is just you, they're not nearly as motivated as you're like, okay, well, you want to keep your relationship happy and satisfied, or you want to find that relationship, you know, men don't enjoy this type of behavior because it makes them feel less of a man. I mean,
exactly.
That's more motivating. That's absolutely more motivating than just saying, well, you're too aggressive, you're too this, you're too that. Well, it doesn't mean as much.
Right, exactly. And, you know, there's so many women out there who are beautiful and accomplished, and they're scratching their head going, I don't get it. Why aren't I with anyone? So,
exactly. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just, it's just a matter of just kind of looking within, you know. And like you say, I think it's highly motivating when you know when it's coming from a man. So,
absolutely.
Good point.
So what do men love about women? So, you know, for those women who are like, okay, they're still scratching their head going, okay, so I don't want to do these things.
What do I do?
What do I
do?
Besides doing the exact opposite of those things.
Yeah, which is basically what you need to do. What men really love about women is our soft, loving nature.
Mm-hmm.
You know, softness, taking that edge off, being...
Mm-hmm.
You know, being playful and allowing that feminine spirit, just like my ex-husband said to me, you know, you've lost your playful feminine spirit. I had, you know, really lost that flirtatiousness, the, just the joy of being in my feminine essence was gone. And your attitude, you know, men love a good attitude. They really have a hard time with complainers and whiners and people who are always seeing the glass half empty. You know, they love somebody who's looks happy and smiling. And that's not to say that, you know, you can't be yourself around them, but just that you are somebody who enjoys life and somebody who's warm-hearted. You know, you don't have a wall up. Your heart is open. And you're just inviting.
Perfect. So you also talk about the importance of feeling sensual, and you make a big distinction between sensuality versus sexuality, which sometimes people kind of mesh and mold together. Can you explain this in more detail and kind of why we need to recognize the difference? Because there is, in fact, a difference.
Absolutely, Kimberly. I'd love to. And this is a really important distinction because I do believe a lot of people do confuse it. And I guess we can start with sexuality, because sexuality is really just more of an emphasis upon sexual matters, you know, things that have to do with sex, whereas sensuality is about the senses.
Yeah.
And it's really about getting in touch with the part of you that is just really your juiciness. It's, you know, when you think of your senses, you think of touch, you think of smell, you think of, you know, what you hear, all the things that enliven your senses. That's your sensuality. And it's actually something that you're born with. You know, we're born as sensual beings. You know, think about, I mean, you have a toddler now, right, Kimberly?
Yeah, he's 3 and a half.
Okay.
And he uses all of them.
Yeah. So think about it, you know, I mean, they love to be held and fed and sung to and, you know, visually engaged. And what happens is, unfortunately, when we grow older, that we're often given beliefs that, you know, that might bring embarrassment about our sensuality. So, or we have an experience that maybe, you know, an adult thinks is, you know, inappropriate, and so they say something to you, and you become shameful, and so you shut down, you know. And so you disconnect from that sensuality, and many women do. And, you know, what happens when you cut off from that is that's the other reason why it's a little challenging to live in your feminine, because when you cut off from your sensuality, then you're really cutting yourself off from who you are, basically. And you're also probably not getting the male interest that you would like, because when you cut it off, that's when, you know, you start embodying more of the masculine traits. And a lot of women do this because they have safety issues, or, you know, they want to protect themselves. And,
sure.
You know, there's a lot of women who have been molested or raped, you know, at a young age. And so they want to, you know, they put these walls up thinking that it's going to keep them safe. But it's taking them away from who they are. They have this misconception that they can be safe as a woman, necessarily. So they basically try to cut themselves off. And it's really a shame, because that, you know, you're not living in your joy. And you do this for a long period of time, and, you know, you exhaust yourself, right? You're just doing, and and you're not living as the person you're supposed to be living as, the person you were born as. And so what happens eventually is that you lose your zest for life. You feel exhausted. Nothing really gives you joy. And it's just all because you've really just abandoned that part of you.
Oh, absolutely. I also think that it can be completely applied to people, you know, women who, the type of women I work with who have body image issues, when they reawaken their senses, it changes the way they feel in their own skin. I mean, it's just, mm-hmm. it's the same, essentially the exact same philosophy, just from a different perspective. But I agree wholeheartedly. It's like when you can start using your senses and see beauty all around you, it's so much easier to see beauty upon yourself.
Mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, I think that is a really good point, you know, with women who have body images, image issues as well.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
so, you know, I know, Kimberly, I would love to do something for your listeners and you know, that I do this tuning fork work, and you actually have experienced it, so you might be able to even give your experience with it that opens up the sensual center
mm-hmm.
and aligns it. And what I'd like to do, if it's okay with you, is
sure.
take maybe 5 or 10 minutes and give your listeners an opportunity to listen in. I'm going to, you know, do some of my tuning forks to open up their sensual centers, which is their sacral center. They basically work along your chakra system. And for those of you who aren't familiar with chakras, they're basically go from the tailbone up through the crown chakra, and this is where energy enters your body. And if things are stuck, then you know you may not feel so great. So by opening the sensuality center, then things start, you know, kind of waking up and getting lively again. And, you know, it's really
yeah.
great, really great. I mean, I had this one lady who had a baby, and she, her baby was 9 months old. And so, you know, we were at a retreat, and I did this work with her. And she, afterwards, she just looked like juicy as could be. And she's like, oh, my gosh, I haven't felt this way. I haven't felt in that area in 9 months. So
yeah.
it really woke her up, and it, my gosh, it made such a difference, you know, just the look in her eye. And so how, you know, what are some of the things that you might be able to tell people about how it affected you?
Well, I definitely remember the very first time that I did it with you privately, and you had said, even before you had said it, there was a spot where you had said, you know, your hips will start to move or something along those lines. I don't remember the exact words you used, but, and I had already, my body was already like moving on its own. It was just that visceral for me.
Yeah.
It was, you know, it just got really deep into, and I have to say, I do completely notice a difference when I do it and when I don't do it.
Mm.
For a long time, I was doing it every morning, and, well, that was kind of difficult when my son started waking me up at 4.
Oh, yeah. I can see where that would be.
Yeah, so it definitely gave me an energy just from a physical space, and then it just had me feeling like I could pretty much handle everything, not necessarily from a masculine, like, I have to do this, but from
yeah.
this, like, I can handle anything, like, no matter what's thrown at me, like, I can take everything with a grain of salt, and I'm going to just, like, it's smooth sailing for me, because I felt that good in my skin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's
when
just
I don't do it,
empowered.
Yes, and when I don't do it, I definitely find myself oftentimes reverting back to relying on the old, for lack of a better way of describing it, masculine tendencies that I definitely have to get me through the day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
exactly.
It's a very amazing experience. So I'm glad
yeah.
that you're sharing this.
Yeah, you know what? Because of time restraints, I won't be able to do, you know, the entire meditation. But I will definitely do a few things to open up. So what I'd like everybody to do is just close your eyes. And if you are able to close your eyes, those of you who are sitting in a, you know, maybe in the comfort of your home, or, you know, if you're driving, obviously you're not going to close your eyes. But just for those of you that are able to, close your eyes and just start taking in some very deep breaths. And just making sure that you're taking in this pure, beautiful, white energy Imagine a sparkling energy just going up through your nostrils and down the back of your throat, across your shoulders, and just feel your body sinking deeper into where you're sitting. And feel that air and that energy going into your heart. And when you exhale, just release any stale energy that you no longer need. And your next breath is even deeper and takes you into even more relaxation. And take that breath down into your heart center. And then imagine it traveling down into your pelvic heart center. And this is really your feminine heart center. And just imagine this breath caressing your cells, enlivening your cells, and filling this area up with a beautiful, vibrant energy. And as you release the air in an exhale, just let go of any stresses, any negativity, anything that has come into your day today to throw you off. And take another deep breath, letting it go all the way down into your heart center, into your pelvic center, and letting that breath go down into your legs, down into your feet. Exhaling what you no longer need. Take another couple of breaths in. Each breath relaxing you more, taking you deeper and deeper into your pelvic heart center. And as that air goes down into your pelvic heart center, just imagine it's dancing and caressing your cells and blanketing your organs with a beautiful light energy that's waking everything up. And now I want you to start just moving your hips around just as organically as you can. Moving doesn't matter if they're moving from side to side or around in a circle or from front to back. Just moving them around. And as you're moving them around, just feel things starting to wake up even more. And just feel your upper body now just kind of swaying and everything just kind of moving very sinewy, very easily, very sensual way. Now I'm going to start using my tuning forks, so you'll hear a noise. Don't let it shock you. It's going to be waking up your sacral center, which is the area right below your belly button. And this is an orange. It's associated with the color orange. So I want you to think about that orange. Think about it glowing. Think about it in its pure state. And just allow the sound to come into this area. Here we go. You may feel something waking up. You may not feel anything, but trust me, it doesn't matter. The sound vibration is working to enliven and awaken. Now we're going to connect it to your other chakra centers. So I want you to imagine now we're going to be connecting it to your root chakra, which is at the base of your spine, and it's red in color. So now just imagine this flow of red and orange energy. Next, we'll be connecting it to your power center, which is right in your solar plexus, and it's yellow in color. So now just imagine that red and orange color working its way up, kind of figure eight fashion, and now connecting with the yellow. They're all mixing together, your sensuality, going into your power center, letting you feel that it's totally permittable to feel your sensuality. Next, moving up to your heart center, which is green in color. And again, seeing that red and the orange and the yellow now going up into the heart. And just imagine your sacral center connecting. It's all connecting to your heart center. And you're able to express through your heart this beautiful sensual nature. Moving up to your throat, which is a beautiful blue color. All the colors working their way up in figure eight fashion, allowing you to speak with a feminine empowerment. Now moving up to the area right between your eyebrows, they call this the third eye, your chakra that allows you to envision, bringing all the colors up to this eye area, your third eye area. It's violet in color. And just imagine yourself as the sensual being that you want to be. And now your crown chakra, which is the divine energy coming down and connecting with the indigo purple, the blue, the green, the yellow, the orange, and the red, everything connecting and allowing you to be this beautiful, feminine, empowered being that you were born to be. And now just take a nice breath in. Your chakras have all been aligned with this sacral center. And just allow yourself to breathe in the sensual essence of who you are. And you can let out a nice breath and open your eyes. And you should be feeling very peaceful, aligned, and juicy.
Yeah. Very peaceful, that's for sure. Yes. I needed that today. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Yeah, it's great. It's really great. So, sorry we didn't have time for the extended version, but
I think that even the short version is just as powerful, and I'm sure people will get a lot out of it.
Good.
I don't want to run out of time, so what I'm going to do is I want to open it up for Q&A just to see if anyone has any questions, and
sure.
This takes a little bit of time, and usually we have quiet callers. We don't always have a ton of questions, but let me open the Q&A, and then I really want to talk about the book that's coming out and get some details about that, so when people are ready to, it's ready for purchase, people can go and buy it. So let me just open up for Q&A, so just give me 1 second.
Okay.
So I'm going to open it up for Q&A. So if anyone has a question for Sherry, what you want to do is press *6. And then in order for you to get into the queue, there's going to be an operator who's going to prompt you to press 1. So it's *6 and then 1. Okay. So while people are getting into the Q&A, if they want to ask a question, let's talk a little bit about your book. Your book is called Sexy and Sparkling After 40, 7
mm-hmm.
Steps to Revitalize Your Radiance and Create Romantic Adventures in Your Life. Now, I have to say the most intriguing part of that, at least for me, because I'm not quite 40, but I want to read it just because of the romantic adventures.
They're fun.
Adventures you're talking about. So I know how to make myself juicy in all the good ways and, you know, work on all that part, but I really would love to hear a little bit about what really prompted you to write the book. And, you know, you said there's 15 themed romantic adventures in there and, like, just how you created them and, you know, any details you can share with us.
Yeah, absolutely. I'll try to be as brief as possible for time, but the idea started after I got divorced. I started dating a man, and I fell in love, and it was our energy together. Hold on. I have to take a sip of water there. And kind of getting over a cold. And it was kind of our energy together that really, I started getting these visions of fun ways to you know, add to the romance and to allow myself. You know, at that time, I was really wanting to get in touch with my feminine essence and my creative
mm-hmm.
essence. And another quality of femininity is creativity. So I started having all these ideas, and so I found that I was having just a ball doing them, and my friends were loving them as well. I was starting to design them for them as well, and we were doing all this fun masterminding. So basically what it is they're themed adventures, and they can be done in your home. Especially now with the way things are, you know, people don't have a lot of necessarily extra money, but they want to do something fun.
Yeah,
and
absolutely.
So this just basically, it prompts your own imagination. I give you ideas. I give you, you know, kind of scenarios. I lay it out for you. They're really, really complete. I give you, you know, kind of what the romantic essentials are, and each one of them has this really fun invitation that you send out to your guy, and then it kind of tells you like a countdown of what you need to do, you know, a timeline, and I have celebrity chefs that have contributed their recipes so that you have fun things to make. And it's really about getting all the different flavors of who you are out there. You know, isn't it true that you pretty much are the same person over and over again? You don't really allow yourself to explore that much about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
So this is a way that you get a chance to let all the different flavors of who you are or the different facets of your personality come to the surface. And you know, each one gets to, you know, gets their time to shine and be a leading lady. And as you do it, the reason why it's so, I feel it's so crucial for women is because it allows you to discover more about yourself. And in the process, you gain confidence and you have fun and you connect with your significant other in a way that's authentic. You know, you're not just going down to the sex store and getting toys.
Yeah.
You are, and for some people, that's not, you know, I'm not going to say that's a bad thing. Some people, that works great. But
yeah,
this is, to me, this is about having fun again and
yeah,
and learning about each other. You know, I mean, you're going to learn things about yourself, and then your significant other is going to see different sides of you that are going to, like, intrigue him and thrill him and mesmerize him. And you're going to be able to build a more of a really solid, loving relationship, because when you have fun together and you laugh together and you have, you know, passionate times from that, those are the times that you're really going to remember.
Absolutely. Great. That sounds awesome. I'm very excited. I can't wait to get my hands on just those alone.
Yeah. We'll have to get you started with some.
Yes, I will definitely be sharing. Here you go. I will be plugging your book by sharing my experiences with doing the 15 themed romantic adventure.
I love it. Perfect.
And I'd willingly do that. Awesome. So anything else that you want to share without spilling all your secrets about your book that will give people, I know you talk about something called the Sparkle System.
Yes, the Sparkle System is a 7-step system with tips and strategies. And, you know, I also include, you know, real-life stories that will inspire women so that they can discover really their identity again and help them revitalize their radiance, because there's always challenges to life. And it's going to help you navigate through the, you know, like the ditches and the trenches, so that you can learn how to keep your sparkle going regardless of what happens to your life, so that you can really feel sexy at any age and create really great relationship and connection. So it's a good system to follow, and each step or each component of the system is independent of each other. So it's not something that, you know, you need to work it all together. You can always, wherever you are in your life, you find which applies to what you're doing, and you can, you know, just go directly to that section.
Great. Yeah. Well, knowing you, I know that's true. So, yes, I would totally agree with that. Anything you do, you can always take whatever piece of it will apply to your life, and it's very successful if you follow through. So.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's true.
The one thing that I want to mention, because I personally know Sherry, and I've worked with her personally, I just want people to know that even though the book says sparkling and sexy after 40, I'm guessing that you don't have to be 40 for this to apply to you.
Oh, absolutely not.
Yeah. I just wanted to make sure that, you know, I have some younger readers as well. And I just want you to know that these adventures and these tips and ideas and techniques and things will completely apply to you as well. It's not necessarily about reaching at 40. It's just a title of a book.
Well, thank you for pointing that out. I appreciate it, because it really is ageless.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that from a marketing standpoint, it's a great title. I mean, absolutely great title. And let's face it, a lot of women, you know, that hit their 30s and into their 40s, this is one of the things that we often, I don't want to say complain, but often, you know, feel like we are lacking. We need our sparkle back. But that doesn't mean a 20-year-old doesn't feel the same way, or, you know, a 60-year-old doesn't feel the same way. So
right.
I just wanted to throw that out there, just because I think that everyone would have so much fun with doing these adventures and just learning from you in general.
Oh, thank you, Kimberly.
So, absolutely. So I do want to no questions as of yet. We have a quiet bunch tonight. I think we've pretty much given them a lot to think about.
I think so, too. I've scared them.
Now, anytime we talk about sensuality or anything along, I always have a quiet bunch. It's quite funny. But then we get lots of comments later, or I get emails, so I'll have to pass them on to you if I get anything interesting.
Yeah, please do.
Questions.
I mean, yeah,
absolutely,
please
I will.
Do.
Absolutely, I will. So we talked about your business. We talked about your book. I really want to know something, you know, just about Sherry as a woman. Like, what is one interesting or intriguing thing that you would like to share with us that doesn't involve your work? Because we both know that we all are beyond our work, although that's a big part of who we are. We have other interests in life outside of that. So,
uh-huh, yes, that's true.
Give me one thing that you'd like to share with us.
Well, I guess the one thing that I guess it's in the forefront of my mind because it's something that I'm doing right now is I am training for a mini triathlon. And
yes, I read that on your
yeah.
Facebook page, I think.
Great. Yeah,
that's awesome.
It, you know what? I had two hip replacements 4 years ago. And so I had been, you know, really not in the greatest of shape for a while. Mm-hmm. And so this is just something that I wanted to do for me. And just to be able to say that, you know, this is getting myself back into shape and it's not as big of a challenge as a woody-doody triathlon would be, but like, you know, it's just a little mini one. So it will,
hey.
You know, it's, yeah. So
it's
really helping. You know what? Because when I was going through my divorce, exercise is what really helped me lift depression and
mm-hmm.
stay structured and feel really good. And I think that it's just really a great thing for anybody who has stress in their life to you know, make as a part of their life. And I don't know, it's just something that I wanted to do.
Good, that's awesome. I am
yeah,
very much
you.
The same way with exercise. I like to take on challenges and things like that, things that might not mean anything to somebody else, but like I create my own challenges. So I completely understand, and that is just a huge accomplishment just to take that on. I mean, triathlons are no joke, mini or not, they're no joke. So.
Yeah, well,
yeah. Don't discount the fact that she's doing a mini triathlon. It's no, you know, triathlon is a triathlon. It's three events, and you still have to do that. So.
Yeah, that's true, and the training is pretty intense, you know. But,
yeah, absolutely. I definitely don't think I could do it because the swimming always stopped me from doing a triathlon. Marathons, running, I can do that. Biking, I can do that. The swimming, not so much.
Well, same with me, Kimberly, but that's what, you know, that's why I think I've just, but you know what? It's, you would do it. If you decided you wanted to do it, you would do
yes,
it.
Yes, you're right. You're absolutely right. It's just not on my bucket list as of now.
No.
I'll let you know if that changes. I'll probably need some tips on training. I don't know if I'd be able to get up at, you know, 6 o'clock in the morning and roll out of bed in wintertime in Pennsylvania and go swimming. I know you live in California, so that might make a big difference. If I lived out there, maybe.
I still have to have an indoor pool. Are you kidding? I'm
okay.
I'm a baby. I'm a baby.
So I definitely want to make sure that people know where to contact you or where they can get a hold of your products and your program and anything else
sure.
that you are – offering. So I know your website is unleashyoursparkle.com.
Right, right. And
is there anywhere
else
they can go?
Sure, yeah. I also wanted to offer to your listeners, I have a play shop coming up in January, and I believe it starts January 9th, and it's called Discover How to Find and Own Your Playful, Sexy Self. And it's a 4-week course, and what I would like to offer your listeners is, you know, my book actually will be out by that time, and I would like to give them a copy of the book, and I have 3 CDs that are 30 minutes each. They're a meditative visualization, Sparkle with Confidence, Sparkle with Sensuality, and Sparkle with Love. And for anybody who signs up for my teleplay shop, I would love to give that as a bonus. And we have several other bonuses as well that they can check it out, check out the other bonuses and check out the course by going to www.relationshipsparkle.com. But just know that this particular bonus that I mentioned is not listed, but I definitely want to offer that to you as a special bonus.
Great, absolutely. It's a great bonus. I can't wait to get my hands on those CDs
yeah.
either. So everyone, take a look at that, and I will definitely be updating people in the next couple of days on what we talked about tonight and also give them the links just so they have them.
Great.
So before I leave the interview with everybody I've ever talked to since I started the Love Your Naked Ass Warrior series, I asked 2 questions. This is just a fun thing. It's just kind of my little indulgence, my quirky little thing that I do, because 2 of my favorite indulgences in life are wine and chocolate. So I asked everyone
That's good. Good indulgences.
Yes. Do you prefer red or white wine?
Red.
And do you have a particular favorite, you know, any
I like Pinot Noir. I like Pinot Noirs. Yeah.
Again, kindred spirits we are. I love Pinot Noir. I love California Pinot Noirs, actually, right now. I'm very into them. So, yes, I agree.
And they're best, aren't they?
Yes, they are. They're just very smooth, and they're not heavy. They go with everything.
Right.
You can never, ever, you know, you can always luck out with a Pinot Noir. If you're trying to make a meal and you're trying to figure out what kind of wine needs to go with this meal, I always say, you know, when in doubt, pick a Pinot Noir.
I love that. I'll have to remember that.
Because you can never go wrong. That's my motto, and I'm sticking to it. So,
yeah.
Chocolate, milk or dark chocolate?
Oh boy, that depends. If I'm eating chocolate with the red wine, then dark chocolate.
Yes, absolutely.
But just if it's on its own, then milk chocolate.
Ah, and what is any favorite particular brand you like, or anything that you know?
Oh my God,
you?
I'm such a Mary C. junkie. I love the caramels, you know, chocolate covered caramels, and anything Mary C. does.
nice. There's actually something that you may be interested in. I sent a gift to a friend of mine quite a few months ago, and I was trying to find the perfect gift. She loves chocolate. She loves wine, and I found the best gift ever. It's a Belgian dark chocolate covered red wine bottle.
Wow.
And basically, yes. I'll have to send you the link for it just so you have it, because I know that you
yes.
give gifts to people, and this is just such it's a sensual gift too, like I thought. It's like such a sensual gift because you can peel it and taste it and combine it. And so basically it's dipped in Belgian chocolate, and there's strings that line the bottle, and you pull the string and the dark chocolate falls off and it reveals the bottle of wine. It's really
wow.
cool gift. Yeah, I'll have to send it to you.
It's a real bottle of wine.
Oh, it's a real bottle of wine, and it's like traditional, like real Belgian dark chocolate. She
oh my gosh, Kimberly.
We had a ball with it, and she said it was one of the best gifts she ever got. And then once my book hits the stands, that I was going to buy myself a bottle, so I guess I need to get myself moving on that.
Yeah, exactly. Send me that link. That sounds amazing.
Yeah, I definitely will. There's two, but I'll definitely send it to you.
Oh, thank
I
you.
Do it
thank you. Thank you.
Absolutely.
That would be awesome.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me tonight. I appreciate it. You're always so much fun to talk to, and I'm so happy to share everything that you're doing with everyone that I know, and I'm so excited about your book, and I can't wait to read it. So as soon as it's ready, let me know. I definitely will do the themed romantic adventures and blog about it. For me as well. But it's a great way to show people that, you know, there's something else out there that can inspire them to be romantic, because I know a lot of my girlfriends always talk about, you know, their husbands are not romantic anymore. They don't know what to do to create that romance, and now I have something to say, well, now you have no excuse.
That's, you know what, and that's absolutely true, and that's one of the reasons why I did it, because so many women say they wait around waiting for their husband to be Don Juan, and it never happens. Never happens. So
well, that
this
is
way
when
they
I
can...
would tell them, yes, that is when I would definitely tell a woman to take the bull by the horns in the romance. If they're not going to be romantic, then this is the only time I would say, you know, take control. But just not take control of the whole situation. Just you start the adventure and then let them fall into place, because they
That's
will.
That's exactly it, Kimberly. That's
yes,
exactly
yes.
it.
Yes. If you show them the way once and you just bring something new to the table, and they will surprise you later.
It's very similar to hosting a dinner party. The woman basically comes up with the design of the dinner party, right? You know, what
Absolutely.
You're going to have and the atmosphere. It's the same thing. And then he steps into it. So, you
Absolutely.
Know, instead of feeling resentful and waiting around, you take charge of that. And I don't see anything wrong with that, because that's really coming from your creative.
No, I wholeheartedly agree with that. And I think that will end a lot of women's frustrations and resentment, because, I mean, there's many people I've talked to that is part of the issue that they have. with their spouse, significant others, they feel resentful because, you know, the romance is gone or the spark is gone. And my question to them is always, well, what are you doing to recreate that?
Right.
And a lot of them will say, well, they're supposed to do that. I'm like, no, if you want it to happen, you got to at least start the fire.
Right, exactly. Good advice.
And they'll come, and then they'll come and, you know, relight.
Right, exactly. You know, they just need to know it's safe, you know, that's it.
Exactly. Especially, you know, if you're in a place where it's just, you know, it happens and they need to, they need to know that it's safe to do it and that you're going to reciprocate as well. I think that's a big part of it. I think that we get into that rut and they think, well, she's not going to care. But if you show them that you're ready, then they'll be willing to step in.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. I couldn't have said it better myself. Yay.
All right, Sherry, it was wonderful talking to you.
Thanks. Thank you
like
so much, Kimberly.
Oh, absolutely.
It was so
if
much fun.
Yeah, it was a great time. If anyone wants any information about Sherry and you didn't catch the web address, feel free to send me an email directly. I will be posting it later this week. And for next month's guest, please go to nakedaskwarrior.com. I will be revealing the January's guest sometime at the end of December. Until then, we'll talk again. Good night.
Good night. Thank you.